In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning. I figure we got a nice rainy day, we got a nice long Old Testament reading, a nice long gospel. I'm going to go ahead and cover them both, okay? I mean, it's not like you're going to be working in the yard, amen? Actually, I looked at them both and I thought to myself, there's a lot happening here. There's a lot of people who seem to understand something that continue to move boldly with God. And as I was reading Paul's letter to the church in Rome, I understand he is teaching us something that matters to everything that you heard in the Old Testament and the New Testament lesson. There's a depth to the relationship in which he's calling us that I think he lays out fairly well in the midst of chapter 5 of Romans. Before we go forward, there's a couple of words I want to cover in these first two verses. Justified. He says that in the first verse. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith. Now, when we hear the word justified, when I hear it, maybe it's just me. When I say we, I mean me. That sounds like a word that has some action behind it. If somebody tells me you need to justify something, I have to do something to make whatever it is I believe or what I'm saying correct to the other person. And sometimes it'd be due to my history. When it comes to justifying things, I am your man. I can justify anything. But that's just a particular skill of a particular people group who go to a different meeting. But the reality is this. What does it mean to be justified, and what is exactly Paul is trying to say? And it is this. The sort of the biblical understanding of what Paul is saying is it's you're justified is being declared guiltless and innocent in the eyes of God. That's what he means when he says justified. Right? Yeah, that sounds like a lot, doesn't it? And this would have been true in his understanding also. And the other word I want to touch on briefly is hope. He talks about in these two verses that we boast in our hope of sharing in the glory of God. Now, he's not talking about hope the way that you and I maybe understand hope. I said at the earlier service, I hope somebody else is going to cook dinner tonight, and I think that God has provided. Amen? Jeff provided. But he didn't know that God was using him. But we hope in things. We hope it doesn't rain when it's time for us to leave the building. If it does, it doesn't really mean anything. It's other than we might get wet or you may stay a little longer. Father Steve's here. He'll be glad to talk to you. But there, well, he's been at home convalescing. He needs us. So here's the thing. This hope that he's talking about isn't just about our sort of, well, I really hope this happens or I hope this is true. He's actually talking about the hope. This hope that we know and grab a hold of as our full truth in that this reality that God's promises are true. It's a certainty that he's speaking of, not a wondering if it may be. When he speaks of the hope, he's saying very specifically, this is the hope. We are certain in God's promises. So when you hear the word hope in this passage, you need to know that what we're hearing is Paul is certain that all that God has promised him is true. So verse 1, he says this, therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to his grace in which we stand, and we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. Now, this is Paul, who proclaimed himself a Pharisee of Pharisees. He is a follower of the law, a keeper of the Jewish law. He is second generation, is what he's really saying when he says he's a Pharisee of Pharisees. It means he's offspring, and he's following in their footsteps. Keepers of the law. Now, for him to write this is what we would call around here a transformed life. Because he is now saying it's not the law that justifies you. You are justified by faith. You're justified by your faith in Jesus Christ. Which, by the way, is what makes it possible for us to walk in this world as wildflowers, blooming weeds. You got to hold on to this. This is a strong teaching. And this was not a very simple thing for Paul to say. This goes against his entire upbringing and understanding of God. It's a new thing for him. Now he can look back and old school justify it through Old Testament, but the reality is, it's his faith. And he's telling us and teaching the church then the same. We are justified by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we obtained access to his grace in which we stand. And we boast in our hope. We boast in the certainty of God's promises are true, so that we may share in the glory of God. And he begins this next section, these next few verses, 3-5. We have to hold on to this understanding. See, once we know this, once we are certain of God's promises, we still walk in this world, amen? And this world comes with some challenges, and it comes with some illnesses, and it comes with sin and brokenness and death. And we walk in it anyway. How do we walk in this? Well, when we are certain of God's promises, when we boast in this hope, we can walk through anything. Amen? And there are times when we must walk through things that seem impossible. And I know this. We've been sharing this in this community a lot lately. I have sat bedside with those who have passed and held their hands, and I just sit there telling them over and over again, God's promises are true. We are certain of them. All that he has said, all that we know from his scripture is real. It's all real. And we can move in that. And when we know this and we walk in this, we can do anything that is in front of us. It doesn't mean it won't be painful. It doesn't mean we won't have sorrow. It doesn't mean we won't get sick. What it means is in the midst of it, we will grow into a deeper relationship with our Lord because of the being brought into his grace through the body and blood of Jesus Christ. And we can hold on to that. We can cling to it, you might say. We can boast in the hope, even when we feel hopeless. And that changes our relationship with God. Listen to what he says. Not only that, that's sharing in the glory of God, verse 2, he says verse 3, and not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. That same hope. And hope does not disappoint us because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. That's a whole new depth to relationship, isn't it? This whole concept of Jesus loves me and I'm so happy of just that thing. Who do we teach that to? Jesus loves me, this I know, 'cause the Bible tells me so. How many people were just in Sunday school this tall? See, that's how we get introduced to the love of Jesus. But then we grow up, brothers and sisters, don't we? And we get jobs, and we have children of our own, and we grow older, and things happen, and we suffer loss and pain. And all that song brings us comfort. It brings us comfort because we've grown past that song, haven't we? See, that's what Paul's saying here. When we go deep into our relationship with Jesus, when we are deep in the throngs and the struggles that come in this life, that's where our relationship grows. I talked earlier today about the concept of marriage these days and the concept of a wedding. I don't know if you've noticed, but almost 35 years ago, I proposed to a woman, and if I was to do that today, I would fail, because it just wasn't a big enough show, right? It was not Instagram worthy. So we've taken all of, and because the proposal now requires this massive production, we now have this mass production that we call the wedding. Now, they were always a bit of a challenge, and Father Steve will acknowledge that, and Christina will find out soon enough at some point. Weddings can be difficult for the clergy. But the reality is we put all this effort into the wedding and getting all the right pictures. Anybody been to a wedding lately? How many hours did you wait for them to take the pictures? You see what I'm saying? We're so focused on the day. The marriage is what matters. It's like any other relationship. Our relationship with Jesus, our closest relationships, take some effort. And in the midst of them, we're going to have some struggles. And what strengthens them is when we walk through the struggle together. I look back at it now and I'm thinking, man, nothing about my marriage with Susan has ever been Instagram worthy. Our first anniversary. You're very excited. I mean, you made it a year, thanks be to God, right? It's not as easy as it sounds if you haven't done it. And we get there, especially if you're married to me. But we get there, and you know what? You want it to be just right, don't you? You know what she got for her first anniversary? Two tires for the car. You know what I got? The other two. Right? Now, if you've been in a long-term relationship of any kind, you understand what I'm saying to you. That matters more than anything else, because that's what we needed to do. We had to do that at that time, right? So in our relationship with Jesus, as much as much of our current Christianity in this society wants to tell you that you're just going to be so blessed, you're going to be so blessed, and you will be, but don't convince yourself that blessed is happy. What blessed is joy. When I think about that first anniversary gift, it gives me deep joy. Because I know there was something bigger behind it. There was a bigger picture. There was a bigger vision that we were working towards together. And we're still working towards it. The fulfillment of a promise that I'm certain of, that till death do we part. And this promise that Jesus has for us is that he is with us always until the end of the days. And we, through the body and blood of this Jesus Christ, have place with him in his kingdom, the hope. We must be certain of it. And when we're certain of it, we can walk through anything this world hands us. How do we know? Because that's what he's told us. And that's what he's shown us. We're just coming out of the Easter season. Jesus arrived in the upper room. And what did he show them? The scars. In his hands, in his side, in his feet. I mean, at best he had no shoes on if he had sandals. So if they didn't see him, they just didn't look. Did he have to do that? No. He didn't have to carry those scars in his resurrected form. He carried them so that we would know that what everything this world tried to do to him was not enough. See, he overcame sin and death. And there was the proof right there before them. And we can be certain that in his resurrection, we will be resurrected with him. And therefore, whatever happens between now and that moment, God always has our back. We should have comfort in that. Do you hear what I'm saying? That's what we should grab a hold of when things are going a little bit sideways. That's why we have community. So when I'm going a little bit sideways because my life's going a little bit sideways, you can grab a hold of me and say, Brian, we're certain of God's promises here still. You need to focus. Take a deep breath. Yeah, this struggle is real, but it's not bigger than God. Amen? That's what Paul's trying to say in his somewhat convoluted way. He's trying to ensure us that the hope is real. And how do we know? Well, it won't disappoint. Well, because it comes down to the love of God. comes down to the love of God. As we come to this final verse or two of what Paul was teaching today, we are reminded of the most incredible, unsolicited, undeserved act of love. For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. Indeed, rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person someone might actually dare to die. But God proves his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Faith is what justifies us, not perfection, not following the rules perfectly. Faith in the hope that what God says and what God has promised is true. Certainty in the hope. This is what saves us. This is why we can be simultaneously a weed and a beautiful blossom. Because God will always see and desire the blossom of our life. He can overlook the weed, the flaws, all of that. It's his unconditional love. See, our God is forever faithful. And because he is, we, brothers and sisters, can take hold of this one very simple truth and this one absolute guarantee that his promises are true. And therefore, we, at all times and in all circumstances, can be faithful to our God. Amen. Amen.